Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good morning, Amazing Grace. We are so blessed to be in the house of God. Come on, give them a shout of praise. We want to welcome Facebook and YouTube for joining us. And we had a wonderful time of worship and praise. And I have a message that has been burning in my bosom. We had a wonderful men's study Tuesday night. And before I went to bed, I was wrestling with God regarding this message, and then it just downloaded. And so this is where this message is coming from, the Lord on high. Amen. And so I call it a rhema word. A rhema word, when he speaks to you and you have to be obedient to it. Amen. And so please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here we go. If you have your cell phones, scanners, fax machine, please turn them on the off or silent mode. Amen. Amen. Here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Come Out From Among Them. Amen. Come out from among them. I want you to look at that path right there. Okay? And so notice there's an arrow pointing to eternal damnation, and that's following the world. And look at all the group that's following there. Now look at the narrow path that's following Jesus. So in the scripture, in Matthew 7:13, it says, Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go therein. This is King James here. Over here is, Narrow is the way which leads unto life, and a few be there that find it. So out of the billions of people, there's only so many hundreds of millions out of 6 billion that are going to make it into heaven. The majority of them are going to be dropped right in there. Why? Because they have refused the Lord Jesus Christ. Look how many Muslims there are. Look how many Hare Krishnas and all these false gods. And then how about the wannabe Christians? They have a name tag. I'm a Christian, but yet there's nothing inside that has been transformed. Be careful, amen? So let's go to 2 Corinthians. You see that right there? 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 18. That's going to be our scripture verses that we're going to break down. So let's go there right now. And it reads, Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? That means the devil. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Ooh. You hanging out with unbelievers? Ooh, watch out. Look at verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Turn to your neighbor and say, You are the temple of the living God.
You are the temple of the living God.
As God has said, look at this. Look at this. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. You have to ask yourself, in your personal life, what is unclean? What defines unclean in your life? It could be a lot of things. And we're not here to put anybody on blast, but you know what they are. You know what you're touching that's unclean, which God is saying, separate yourself from that. Because God said it. Today I'm just the mailman delivering the mail this morning. Look at this. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will, then he says, I will receive you then. See, in order to be received by God, there's something that you have to cut away. If you don't cut it away, you're going to get rejected by him. He goes, then I will receive you. Look at this. Verse 18 spells it out. Then I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So this morning, saints of God, we're going to look at three very, very important aspects of what's expected regarding born-again believers. I'm talking about born-again believers. I'm not talking about Christians. Anyone can say they're a Christian. Catholics say they're a Christian, and ain't none of them ever seen the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about born again, because Jesus told Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So those who have never been born again, never been transformed by their mind. So they still love the things of the world. And they can't detach themselves from it. Why? Because they're not born again. You see, what I came to a conclusion, people that have sought the Holy Spirit, they want the Holy Ghost to live in them. You know why a lot of them have not received it? Because there are things in their life they haven't put to death. Whoo, we're going to look at that in a minute. So let's look at number. Let's look at these three topics. Look at this. One, two, three. Basically, these are the aspects of a born-again believer. A definitive transformation of the mind. The mind has to be transformed. If there's no transformation, guess what? You're just putting a facade. You're just letting people, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church. But inside, it's toe up. From the flow up. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Number two, walking in obedience to the Lord. If you're not walking in obedience to him, who are you? Listen, there's only two paths we saw. You're either walking with Jesus or you're walking with the devil. There's no in between. There's no one foot in and one foot out. No. You got to be all in for Christ. And look at this. Number three, a life of sacrifice and praise. You know what that means? What am I giving up so I can give to God? What is that one thing he wants me to give to him so I can give it up? Because you know what? It's a sacrifice. Because a lot of things that we want to give to God, we love it though. Wait, God, I still love this thing, God. Take it. And then he gives you something better. That's the God we serve. He says, remember Isaac? What did Abraham and Isaac do? What Abraham took his son to sacrifice his son. He was going to put a dagger in his heart. And then the angel stopped him and said, now I know you love me. You know the anguish he had going up Mount Moriah? The whole time, man. I'm just being obedient. I gotta give. You ask for my son, we'll give it to you. My brother, you got three precious sons, and God knocks on your door. I need one of them. Which one do you want to give to me? Just imagine Abraham had to give up his son. And then God came in like he won the Super Bowl. He came in like a champ, didn't he? Okay, so let's look at this. Number one, a definitive transformation of the mind. A definitive transformation of the mind. But, and love as is the foundation. It starts with love. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. So God so loved. So God is love. He created us in love. And guess what? It breaks his heart when we send ourselves to hell. He doesn't send us to hell. God don't do that. We send ourselves. He says, choose me. Choose me this day for life. And so, look what it says in Luke 10 right up here. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? Jesus asked. So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Jesus said that. But when you look at this, when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and all your strength, that means you have surrendered basically everything in your life, and now you're living a life to please and honor him. So what has to take place? In order to really comprehend this, in order to understand this, what has to take place is this, the transformation of the mind. Your mind has to be transformed. Because if it's full of darkness, you're not going to see the light. You're not going to know what God is saying to you. And you're going to think that, oh man, I'm not going to give that up because I don't want to, God. Well, that means your mind hasn't been transformed. In other words, you don't love the things of God enough to give up the things of the world. So where does we find that at? You're going to have to show me that, Pastor, about my mind be transformed. Okay, it's right here in Romans 12, right here, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. It's in God's word. It's right there. You have to renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? Through God's word and learning to be obedient to it. And so when you start understanding the transformation of mind, now you can continue to walk with faith and obedience. But you can't do this without a transformation mind. Because faith is not going to, and obedience, it's going to clash with your inner thoughts. It's going to clash with your heart. Because you haven't surrendered some things that he wants you to surrender. So once you have the transformation mind, now faith and obedience, you understand now. You go, oh, okay. You see, trust in the Lord, obey his commandments, and live by faith. As simple as that. King David wrote this. He wrote this in the Word of God. Look at this in Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his what? Faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, when he says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart, those desires should be for the things of God. Amen. Not the things of the world. The things of the world does not get past God. Can I get an amen? Amen. He will reject it as fast as fast. Lightning speed. Why? Because there's no darkness in him. Can I get amen? Amen? But look what John, look what Jesus, John wrote this down regarding Jesus in John 14. Look at this right here. If you love me, what? I want you to turn to your neighbor and ask this quick question. And just ask him once. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? So, okay, so let's look at this. Jesus said, if you love me, so if we're saying we love him, keep my commandments. Or was it just lip service?
I love you.
No. Did it come from the heart? If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will what? Give you another helper. Who's that helper? The Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever. This is how you get the Holy Ghost. You gotta have a transformed mind, and then by faith you receive the Holy Spirit. Because you have surrendered your whole life to him. Once you surrender your whole life to him, then he will bless you with the power. With the anointing. How many want the power of the anointing in your life? Hallelujah. How many of you want that power to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover? How many of you want to speak into their life and watch them get saved? Oh, hallelujah. Well, keep his commandments. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And then he'll give you the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, the world cannot receive. Are you seeing this right here? You saw the path of all those that are slipping into hell. None of them can hear the truth. It's like they got cement in their ears. They can't hear it. They can't see it. And so they were born with the lie. What were they born with? With Adam's Adamic nature. We all were born that way. We all came out of our mother's womb as little sinful creatures. And then God saves us and gives us a new mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Are you understanding this message? Look at this, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. See, the world don't know him. You ever spoke to an unbeliever about Jesus? Yeah, man, I'm glad you're going to church, man. That's good for you. I'm glad you found God. Man, he must be the man upstairs, huh? Yeah. Don't know who he is. And you could preach to them until you're blue in the face. They still won't hear what you're saying. Because they don't know him. Look at this. But you know him. Turn to your neighbor. But you know him. Woo! But you know him. Look at this. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Wow. Let's make this message clear. So a youngster could understand it. And then, what goes after that is your conduct and character. How is your conduct? And how is your character? Are you, praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. And you go home and kick the dog. Chew at your wife or husband. Curse at them. Curse at your kids. Listen, I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm not going to put no one here on blast, but I've seen it. How is your conduct? See, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you got a transformation mind. Your mind's been transformed. Now you're walking in faith and obedience. Guess what? Guess what lines up with that? It comes like almost automatically is your conduct and character. Because now you have a godliness in you. Now you got power in you. Now the things that you once never did, you want to do. Why? Because you want to please God. It's about pleasing God. It's about that he sees it all. If he sees it all, then please him. And then what follows with conduct, character, guess what starts to transform? You become righteous living. Your living becomes righteous. Righteous. Or is still darkness in your heart? Is there still darkness in our home? Are we still letting things in our life that we shouldn't no more? Is there the pure light of the Holy Spirit living in, so that when we see the things of the world, we recognize and discern it right away, and we can cut it out? We can cut it out. Look at this. Live in purity, avoiding immorality, idolatry, and malicious behavior. You know, there's a lot of people that I still know. I'm talking outside of this church, and I don't hang out with them, but they're the kind of guys that they'll still punch you in the face. They'll still say, "What up?" I have learned to stay far from them. Can I get amen? Amen. You don't have to hang out with them. I'd rather hang out with you guys. You know why? Because you guys love the Lord. And there's no squabble. We all have one thing in common: Christ Jesus. So look at this. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote this clearly. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Look at this. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification," meaning God is setting you apart, "that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." God is looking that you would walk in honor toward him uprightly, when you're around people and when you're by yourself. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Why? Because it pleases him. And look what King David wrote here. "How can a man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word." So the word of God that you're reading here is your ammunition. It's what's going to help you. It's what's going to cut away all those things that war against your soul. The culture, the spirit of this world, the flesh, and the devil. We're constantly at war with that. It's a daily battle. Can I get amen? When we prayed this morning, before we came out, we prayed that we're always going to be in battles, but Jesus won the war.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
We know who won.
Jesus.
So we have to have faith to believe he won this. He won this war. Now we'll just walk with him. Look at this in Philippians 4:8. "Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So you have to ask yourself, what do you meditate yourself on during the week? You have little Bible groups that you hang out. You have brothers and sisters you could call and have little get-together. I love our men's. We get together. Because when us men get together, it's ironing. It's iron sharpening iron. It helps us. It helps me. Listen, the pastor is growing with you. As you grow, I grow. When Pastor Art is up here teaching, we're growing. When Minister Marty, Minister Louie are up here, we're growing. As they start learning and getting past the milk, they're going to start getting into the meat. Then it's really going to be on fire. But be patient with them. When a new babe born comes into the world, you don't put a stake down his throat. What do you give him? Milk. You coddle him. You help them grow, right?
That's right.
Thank you, God. And so, with the transformed mind, with the conduct of character, then it falls into relationships. How many signs I have to put out there that just don't knock or ring the doorbell? I'm gonna have you make a big giant one, Brother Steve. Flashing lights. Flashing lights. I know. Mercy. Mercy and grace. Amen. Listen to this. Relationships. Forgive others. Love enemies. And be kind, compassionate, and humble. Can we be humble? Can we forgive others? You ever been wronged? Amen. You're just like. Learn to be humble. Learn to be compassionate. Look at this. When you start learning how to relate with another, especially those who may be courting or those who have been married. Yolanda and I, we've been married 20, going on 28 years now. For some of you, longer. You, how many? Huh? 38 for Brother Steve and Marisa. Where is Marisa?
She's in the hospital.
Oh, okay. 38 years.
Jesus.
Marty, huh? How many years? Just 16 throw.
Married. 16 married.
16. Yeah.
29.
29. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
53.
Woo. Okay. She's the one that won the prize, so I want to give her the prize.
Two right here. I got two. 2 years over here.
Two. Okay. So, relationships are important with God. I hope you know that. See, God has a holy relationship with us, right? He's expecting us no differently with one another. We need to entreat one another. No differently. And the way you can grieve the Holy Spirit is in Ephesians. Look at this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. But look at this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. You see, when you line up with that, your relationship will go another 50 years, 30 years, 20 years. And those who have been married for only 2, you'll go a third year.
Hallelujah.
A fourth year. Come on. Look what it says in Matthew up here, Matthew 6:14. For if you forgave men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also, what? Forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh, take that up with God. Man, you hating your brother, you hating your sister, you hating somebody. Man, you better watch yourself. You better take that up with God now. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. And so it ties in with that transformed mind, the relationship, the conduct, and everything we've been talking about. It should be identified in your work ethic. People on your job should see Christ Jesus in you. Can I get an amen? They should see the best employee. Your employer should say, man, I wish I had 50 Angel Hernandezes. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Picking 3 out of 700 to work triple time. Come on. See, God knew the need. God spoke to your prayer and said, you know what? I'm going to pick the best.
Amen.
And then when I get paid, I make sure he got it
10%. Come on.
How about your bank? This is yours, God. Put it first. Without even hesitating. That's faith.
You see, Paul, look at this. Work heartily as for the Lord, not just for human masters. But it's unto the Lord. And where do I find that at? In Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? It's serving the Lord where He blesses you. And guess what? Your co-workers get to see that in action. They get to see something that they don't have. Someone that loves God. And your light shining. So now, everything now is starting to transform as a born-again believer. Amen? We're looking at many aspects. So the next one is vital. It's critical. It's this right up here. It's speech. What is coming out of your mouth? One of the things is avoid foul language, grumbling, disputes, and gossip. Ensuring your words are encouraging. My. Look what it says here. Paul wrote it. Okay, those are my notes. But let's see what God says about what I just put up here. It's found in Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Filthy language. You know, there's some people that still have bleepity bleep F-bombs and D-bombs and B-bombs come out of their mouth. God said, put it away. You shouldn't be speaking like that as a Christian. Because if you're still speaking like that, the Holy Ghost is not in you. Look at this. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man. Has the old man died in your life? Or are you still carrying that stinky thing around your neck? That old man. You know, when someone dies, it starts to become putrid. So are you tired? You know what they used to do to the slaves? They used to put dead people around their backs as punishment, in the stench of a dead man on your back that you murdered. Filthy language out of your mouth is stench to God. And if you're trying to compromise with God, say, he knows me. Yeah, he knows where you're going to trip into. You're going to slip right into darkness. You're going to do a war song. Slipping into darkness.
That ain't good.
Uh-uh. You're going to slip right into darkness. And God said, I'm not going to bring you out of there no more. You're going to be buried in there until you die. Look at this. And do not lie to one another. Listen, you can't lie to someone. Yeah, man. You know, God delivered me. I'm free. And you go home. Jesus, help us. Yeah, I got them all fooled. Yeah, man.
I've been delivered.
Yeah. I don't have to go to 7-Eleven and meet nobody no more. I can go to Marsh and Ash right down the street. I'll get my buds there. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Yeah, see, the devil made it so convenient. The devil made it so convenient, didn't he? Look at this. And put on the new man. Say that with me. Put on the new man. Say that one more time. Put on the new man. Who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. And then that falls into spiritual discipline. Look at this. Train yourself for godliness. Engage in prayer. And stay vigilant. How many wants to stay vigilant? Well, right here in 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy. if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward what? So, listen, you got to work on it. Can I get an amen? You got to wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I want to please God this morning. No, I'm going to watch my mouth. I'm going to watch what I say. I'm going to treat so-and-so with love and kindness. I want to please God. I don't want to do it my way. I'm done with the Burger King life, having it my way. And many of us are stubborn like a mule. Oh, come on. Oh, that's right. Some of us already broke off the rope that you're trying to pull that mule. They just snapped it off. Mm-mm. I'm not going nowhere. Jesus, help us. So now we're going to go to number two. Are we getting something out of this?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God gave me this. I wrestled with this. And now that he gave it to me, I got to let it out.
That's right.
It was welling up in me. I got to let it out. Can I get amen? Amen? Look at number two. Walking in obedience to the Lord. Guess where we find that at? In the very beginning. Pastor Art's teaching us in Exodus. Well, we're going to be in Exodus and Jesus will come for us. Amen?
We're almost out.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, almost out. And then we're going to drop into this book. I think it's the next book. I'm not sure. But look at this. In Deuteronomy 5:33, look at this. You shall walk in the ways on which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that he may be well with you, and that you may what? Prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. You see, when you have a life of obedience unto God, he will allow your life to live long. How many of you want to live a long life and give God praise and glory? Look what it says in 13:4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him.
Thank you, Lord.
We read this scripture. We're going to read it again. Look at this. John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? It's not just in the Old Testament. It's in the New. Now look what the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. Remember, he was exiled to Patmos. It was a Grecian island out there. He wrote this in 1 John 2. Look at this. Now, by this we know that we know him. Notice how he phrased that? What he's going to say right now is because we know him. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So if you're keeping his commandments, that's because you know him. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. What? That's pretty tough, huh? That's pretty tough. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are what? In him. We're going to look at our third. Before we close, we're going to look at our third biblical reference. And number three, a life of sacrifice and praise. Sacrifice and praise. You see, there's a sacrifice when you're walking with God. How many believe there's a sacrifice when you're walking with God? The flesh don't want to pray. The flesh don't want to lift up its hands and worship God. The flesh don't want to testify. The flesh wants to go into dark places. But can you sacrifice those desires to please God, to honor Him? Look what Jesus said in Luke 9. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him what? Deny himself. And take up his cross daily and follow Me. If you're going to follow Jesus, there's some things He's saying you need to let go. What's that thing in your life that He's saying, let it go? What is that dark thing in your life that's causing you to sin before Him? Let it go. Because we have to have a life that what? Honors Him. He says, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Look at verse 24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. So you want to be saved by God? Then lose that old life that you've once had. Surrender it all. Whatever God is saying, give it to Me, give it to Him. You know what they are? And some of you have been dealing with this for a while now. God help me. God help me. Listen. I want to share this real quick. I wish Brother Felipe was here. Brother Felipe? You guys know him, right? He had just got saved. You know, he graduated Sweetwater High. You know, and then he made it into the Hollywood industry. So he was in movies like La Bamba, Born in East L.A., After School Play. Oh, yeah. But one of the things he was really good at
DJ.
In Hollywood, he was a DJ.
Yeah.
He was a DJ in Hollywood. And when he just got saved, the way he got saved, he got invited to a Bible study through a mutual friend. He came down from L.A. to visit his friend, took him to David and Elisa Calvani's home. He got saved there at a Bible study. They baptized him in the tub. And devils were coming out of him. Oh yeah, he was demon possessed. So, he had to get back to L.A. because he had all the big boys at this one dance party. I'm talking the big boys were there. All those artists back in the 89, 90. We call them now old school. But they were there. Confunction was there. The guys from Cameo were there. Oh yeah, come on, we go back. And so it was huge. He said there was at least 1,000 people at this big old dance party up in L.A. And he was the main DJ. So he went up there and grabbed an album, and he put it, because he had two turntables, and it was by Rick James, Give It to Me, Baby. And he heard a voice saying to him, that offends Me. And so he picked it up, he went to the corner, and he busted it, and went and got another one. And so, it was another one by the Daz Band. Remember the Daz Band? And he put it on. And he heard that voice, that offends Me. He picked it up and he broke it. He goes, you know what, I need to slow it down. So he went up and grabbed another one. Remember GQ?
Yeah.
I Do Love You?
Yeah.
He wanted to bring that. And God said, that offends Me. You know why God said it offended Him? Because when right before He put that music on, He was remembering the back seat of His car with that song. He busted it. He must have busted five albums. And he goes, I can't do this no more. So he told his partner, take over. And then he left and never went back to it. God took him out of that scene. And guess what? He wanted now to go and follow Jesus. He's preaching around the world. He has preached in the Philippines, Indonesia. He's been all over the world. He's still on a stage. But now he's preaching for God. Can I get amen? Are you going to allow God to sanctify you? You see, something has to die so that he can give you more life. What are you willing to give up? And sometimes we have to give it up by faith. Say, God, I know I love this stuff. I grew up with this stuff. But here, God, I give it to you now. And then God changes it. God will then turn it around and say, okay, you have given me that. Now watch what I do for you. Can I get an amen? But you got to surrender it. You got to give it to him. He's not going to just take it from you. You know why? Because you won't let it go on your own. You got to give it to him. Look at this. Look at verse 25. For what profit is the man if he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father and all the holy angels. He knew in that world he was in, ain't nobody talked about Jesus. No one would speak the name of Jesus in there. It was all yakety yak, don't come back. It was all foul and the devil's language, cursing, causing people to sin. Brings me to this. Do not hinder others if your walk is in disobedience. What does that mean? I'm going to make it as clear as possible. This is what God was wrestling with me on this. In Matthew 18:4, look at this. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. Listen, one of the reasons why Felipe told me he had to leave there, because if he would have stayed there, he would have caused young people in there and point them to the devil instead of pointing them to Christ. So when you remain in that dark place, you're pointing these kids to the devil. Come on, no one wants to hear that truth. But woe, God is saying woe unto you. Because something, a calamity will come. And man, something that came out of nowhere. Why? Because he's trying to get your attention. But some people are stiff-necked. I don't care what you're saying, Pastor. I'm going to go do my thing. You're going to be James Brown on me. I'm going to do my thing. Yeah, get on up. I'm going to do my thing. Yeah, keep on doing your thing. Now watch what God does. Because you've heard it today. You've heard the truth today. Oh, yeah. This is not no seeker-friendly message this morning. You want a seeker-friendly? Just go out there and hide out with all these big old organizations that won't tell you this. They won't show you these. Why? Oh, we don't want to lose nobody. Who cares? Woe to the world because of offenses. Jesus, help us. And so, you read my two scriptures this morning in prayer, Brother Angel, before we came out. It's found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that mean? That means I've surrendered everything that you asked me, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm living now a sacrificial life. I've given you everything, and now I expect your blessings now, God.
Yes,
and expect your blessings, because he will.
Yes, he will.
Look at this. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable. This is our reasonable service as a believer. This is something that we ought to do, that we should do. That's what reasonable service means. And do not be conformed to this world. In other words, separate yourself from the darkness, from the language, from the culture. And let me just say this. Ungodly country music, pop music, rock music, rap music that use profane, foul words, you're walking with the devil. I don't care how you want to put it. Don't try to compromise with God, because that ain't walking with God. That's walking with self. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. It's God's perfect will. Can I get amen? That you honor him. That you walk with him. Why? Because Paul said it best. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. So what have you nailed to the cross? I can rat on me. I can't speak of you. But on this cross, he took my drug life, my foul language life, my cheating life, my angry life. He took away my covetous life, my life that wouldn't honor him. He took it all, and I crucified it to the cross.
Yes.
What have you crucified to the cross? Huh? What have you crucified to the cross? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. This message being clear enough? For he who has died and has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And so, in closing, we need to learn how to die to self every day when we wake up. Can I get an amen? And what is the meaning? What is the meaning of dying to self? No, it's not taking a gun and shooting your foot, poking your eye when you sin. No, it's none of that. But we have to look at what? Daily action. There's action that takes place. It's a verb. Look at this. These are my notes. It is not a one-time event, but a daily continuous process of setting aside selfish interests for Christ. And so, here's what needs to take place. A spiritual transformation. And what does it involve? It involves putting to death the sinful nature and allowing the Holy Spirit to produce fruit. You know, God wants to produce fruit in your life. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, which there's no end to that. And take all that other garbage out. Let the light of God drive that darkness out. And never let it be known of you no more. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Listen. We have to learn how to surrender. In the Old Testament, I'm going to close with this. In the Old Testament, the Jewish writer, Josephus, and also in the Jewish Talmud. Are you familiar with the Talmud? These are tools that most Jewish historians at the Temple Beth, rabbi would have the Word of God, and then he would have a Talmud. Okay, these are writings of the rabbis, the Talmud. But what they have shared with us is that during temple times, when they would have to bring the sacrifice to the altar, they just didn't bring anything that they bought. They didn't go to a farm. I want to buy that, and I want to buy that to sacrifice. They didn't do that. They brought something that was raised with them. It meant something. It was like, as God said, bring your dog to me. A dog that you've raised since it was a puppy. Well, the lambs and the goats and the bulls were close to those families, and they had to pick one to bring it as a sacrifice. It wasn't a sacrifice of God. It was their sacrifice because they loved that animal. They loved that sheep. They loved that goat. But something had to die in order their sins to be cleansed for that year. They had to bring something that was precious to them. It means trusting God over personal, earthly, or selfish desires. Look at this. They had to bring him, who was a friend to the family, from a little wee lamb or ewe lamb. And now, this lamb will walk with them all the way to get slaughtered because they're trusting the master where he's taking them. And in his heart, he's breaking because he had to give up the thing that they loved. What are you willing to give up that you love? What are you willing to sacrifice to God? Say, God, take this. I love this thing in my life, but take it from me. I give it to you. What is it? Every one of us has that thing in us that we love. We don't know how to let it go. That's what they had to do. That's why it's called a sacrifice in praise. They sacrificed their pet animal that they raised. Just imagine, the kids were close to this thing. They hand-fed it. They loved this animal. They didn't buy him. He was raised with them. And it became a sacrifice. Now you know the depth of that. When you read the scriptures that King David wrote, enter to his courts with thanksgiving and praise, with a sacrificial praise. In other words, there's something that you have surrendered in your life so that God will bless you with his glory. And God will. God will bless you with his glory. Look, it shows one of the, they hand feed them. They were like friends of the family. But one of them had to be selected and taken to get sacrificed at the altar. God help us. God help us. Jesus help us. Help us understand, Lord, the things that we struggle in. Help us, oh God, see clearly what you want from our life, Lord, that would bring you great glory and honor and praise. Help us not be defiant, but help us honor you, God, in the choices that we make. How many of you can honestly say, by just a show of hands, there's areas in your life that could be improved in your life? Come on, every one of us. My hands were up high. I can't touch the ceiling because I'm too shallow. Our altar is too small for all of us to come up. So lift up your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, all the hands that went up, oh God, strengthen us, oh God, in the areas that we're weak in. Lord, help us surrender those things that you've been asking us to give you, God. Let this day be a day that we just give it to you, God. We don't need the things of the world because it doesn't bring you any glory. And God, it blocks me from old Slewfoot himself, who wants to have a foothold in our family, in our life. We thank you that we have power over the devil through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God and the anointing of God. Father, help us. Help us make right choices in our life. Help us bring you honor and glory and praise from our life, O God. Help us continue, O God, to seek after you with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Help us enter into a deeper relationship with you, Jesus. If you have to wake us up at 3 or 4 in the morning, so be it, that we would spend that quality time with you, God. Lord, with all my struggles and all my failures and all my shortcomings, you are greater than all of them. And you're there to pick us up. You're there to help us. You're there to take those from us when we place those things in our hands and we hand them to you by faith. Oh God, let that be the day, this day, that we praise you and glorify you. Let there be a true transformation, a true renewing of the mind. Lord, that we could bring you constant glory day in and day out and honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in our life. And we love you, God. We praise you, God. We ask these blessings in the wonderful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Thank you, God. My friends, if you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you've never surrendered your life to the Lord. We want to give you that opportunity right now. This wonderful church, Amazing Grace, would love to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too would have eternal life by faith. So we're going to say this prayer, and we hope that you join in and find Jesus right now. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Come on, is he worthy? Woo, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ
for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.